Well, welcome to the Cut for Time podcast here at the Canton United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Clay. I'm just so glad you joined me for this episode of the Cut for Time podcast. I wanted to apologize for the little bit of a break in episodes that we had. It was completely unintentional, but there was a week where I was sick, and then there was a week where Eric was sick, and now Eric is off this week in Montana for work. And so you just get me. I had a couple of thoughts I wanted to follow up on from Sunday's sermon, and then also just give a little bit of a plug for our Holy Week activities, which start on Sunday, which is Palm Sunday. So let's go ahead and get into the episode. This week, we continued our sermon series based on the book of Psalms. So we're talking through a book from Elizabeth Caldwell called Pause Psalms during the season of Lent, where we've been focusing each week on a different psalm. And this one was a break from what we have been doing in the past couple of weeks, because this was not a Davidic psalm. This was a psalm with an unknown author. This was Psalm 130, which I mentioned on Sunday was a part of what's called the Psalms of Ascent. And I don't have a favorite in the Psalter, but the Psalms of Ascent definitely do have a special place in my heart. Back in a before ministry such situation, I became the accidental leader of a women's Bible study at a church I was volunteering at, and was just happened to be hanging out in a room before the Bible study started. And I tried to leave, but they kind of roped me into it, and I ended up leading the Bible study for a while. And the study that we did was on the Psalms of Ascent. And so these are a set of Psalms that have a special place in my heart. I just also love the imagery of preparing our hearts to approach the fullness of God, to prepare our hearts for what God is going to be up to in the midst of whatever season of life we find ourselves in. We find ourselves in the season of Lent right now, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the Psalms of Ascent are just for those moments. I just remember when I was in my ordination journey, working with Bishop O, he mentioned to us, as this was before I was ordained, this was before at my commissioning, he mentioned to us of how important that moment was going to be, and how holy that moment was going to be, and how powerful that moment was going to be. And so he asked us truthfully to prepare ourselves for how important that was going to be in our lives, because I mean, I've made mention of it in sermons and on the podcast before. Like at the time of my ordination, I basically wept through the entire thing because I was not prepared for how powerful it was going to be. And so I just love that there are these scriptures, passages, these 15 psalms that the people of God would have used to prepare their hearts, to prepare their spirits, to prepare themselves for what they are about to experience in the temple. One of the things I mentioned on Sunday is that in a lot of ways, our season of Lent is kind of like our journey of ascents, because we do start at just the very lowest low that we can imagine, because we start the season of Lent with Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday, where we have an ashen cross imposed upon our forehead. It's called the imposition of ashes, after all. And we're given these words of reminder that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. And these are words that are reflected in our funeral liturgy as well, where in the final prayer, I do say that we commend this body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, and dust to dust, because that is the reality of our composition. But yet we're proclaiming our faithfulness in God, so that in every step of life, we know that we are God, that we belong to God. So we just have this opportunity throughout the season of Lent to really truly prepare ourselves for the power of Easter. Because as we make our ascent, really from the lowest of lows until the highest of highs on the day of the resurrection, and we proclaim that Christ is risen, if we allow it to be, it can be such a powerful moment. It can be such a life-changing moment. Unfortunately, the way that it works in the church calendar is that we can skip from one to the other. And we might talk more about this next week as Eric and I reconvene for a more normal episode of the Cut for Time podcast. But there is this temptation that we face, because Palm Sunday, for the most part, and we're going to talk more about that later in this episode, Palm Sunday is this big and celebratory day where we're like, hey, the people are getting it. They're accepting Jesus for who Jesus is. And then they turn around and cry for his crucifixion. And then we get to celebrate the resurrection. But if we skip the in-between part, there's so much that we miss. There's so much of the story that just gets left out, and it's all just celebration without even realizing the depth of what we're celebrating. The other danger, you go from those low lows to that high high without doing the proper work of preparation, it can lead us to such a weird place spiritually where we either miss exactly how impactful the resurrection is, or we just get completely blown out of the water and don't quite even know how to feel. And so I love that we have this little look at the Psalms of Ascent during the season of Lent, especially this past week, and especially this particular psalm. Psalm 130, with its talk of watchfulness, and with its talk of excitement, with its talk of how much it's going to mean when the people of God finally return to Jerusalem and have the opportunity to present their offerings in the temple. And they look forward to that. They yearn for that, like a sentry waits for the morning, like the watchman waits for the first light of morning, when the watchman can let their guard down and just simply be. The presence of God gives us the ability to just simply be. And that's such an amazing, amazing opportunity. But yet, we find ourselves waiting. We find ourselves waiting. I remember a late Lenten season when I was a pastor in Brookings, and we were discussing just the way that the season of Lent had been for all of us. And we had a fellow pastor that was just going through a hard time in ministry. And she just said, "I can't take any more Lent. I need the resurrection." She has just been through so much. It had been so hard. And I don't really even, like, to this day, I don't even really know the specifics of what she was going through. I just know the depth of her pain. But yet we find ourselves in the midst of those waitings, because a couple of other pastor friends of mine from Brookings jumped in and said, "Well, you can't have the resurrection without a crucifixion." But when Lent feels like a 6-week crucifixion, I can understand not wanting any more Lent and just wanting to get to that moment of resurrection. But in that meeting, we had to just wait because it wasn't Easter yet. And I don't know what you're facing, but it can be that you are just waiting, that we are 2 weeks out from Easter, a week and a half out from Easter now at this point, and we're just waiting. We're just waiting. We're waiting. We're waiting. But the good news is that we can learn so many lessons throughout our waiting. And usually these are the lessons that we don't like really grasp onto until we're out of that season and we're looking back and reflecting and wondering where God was. But the good news of the gospel, the good news of this waiting season, is that we can learn so much about God's faithfulness just right now, and just by acknowledging that God is present with us as we are in this moment of waiting. I remember a Holy Week my senior year of high school. It had just been such a hard time in our community. We'd been through several deaths that just kind of rocked us a little bit, and it ended up kind of culminating at our Good Friday service, which this all happened during Lent, which, again, that waiting thing comes into mind of just, you know, how much more can we take? And I remember our pastor at our home church walking us through a pretty traditional tenebrae service, which wasn't kind of typical of what we had usually done on Good Friday, but it was just really refreshing. And he invited us just to wait at the end of the service, just to remain for prayer and reflection. And just because of all that we had been through, we really needed that. We needed that space. And just that was just such a powerful reminder as I look back and think back on it, of just recognizing and noticing the places where God was with us in the midst of the waiting, before we got to experience the joy of the resurrection and things kind of never went back to normal, but certainly calmed down and became more just, you know, life does find this way of finding balance. So I would just invite you to consider and continue to pray about the lessons that God is teaching you, especially as you may find yourself in a place of waiting during these later weeks of the Lenten season, as we look forward to Easter, which is what I wanted to turn to now as we talk a little bit about what's going to be happening during Holy Week here in the life of our church. There's a lot of exciting stuff happening beginning on Sunday. We have the opportunity to have Palm Sunday together. We're going to be celebrating with palms during worship and then after worship as well. Our sermon series is going to bring us to Psalm 118, which is a song where the people of God are crying out and giving thanks to God for God's goodness, but also they're also crying out to God for help. This verse, This psalm includes cries of Hosanna, which is a word that literally just means God save us. They're crying out to God to save them. There's also some really strong allusions to the work of Jesus in this, which I like. I don't like to just automatically jump to that and make those one-to-one correlations, but this one's pretty stark because this is where we get the language of there being a stone that the builders rejected that has become the cornerstone. And throughout the events of Holy Week, we're going to watch Jesus be rejected by people. We're going to watch Jesus teach and make enemies and make people frustrated to the point where they are crying for his death by the end of the week. These same people that recognized him as Messiah, that recognized him as the one that God had sent to be their savior, were crying for Jesus to be put to death. And so we're going to walk through all of that, all of those connections on Sunday as we connect to this message series, not just to the larger context of Jesus, but also to the work of the God, to the message of the Gospels as well. As we're also going to be hearing the traditional Palm Sunday story from the Gospel of Mark in chapter 11, where Jesus makes his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And then after worship, we have the opportunity to celebrate that even more tangibly as we follow the donkey mini Pearl around our block. I know Laurel has some songs picked out for us to sing as we make our way. We're also going to be shouting Hosanna and waving palm branches as we walk around our block on that Palm Sunday. And then later in the week on Maundy Thursday, we have our Living Last Supper, and we're moving that to the Canton High School Commons area. We have the opportunity to use their stage and just have a little bit of a bigger space for that. I know that the last two years of having it back in Wesley Hall at the church, it has been a little bit tight. And so we are going to be able to spread out a little bit more and offer some more space for that event to continue to grow. I know there's a lot of people involved with that, and would love to have you be a part of that as well. That's at 7 o'clock on Maundy Thursday. And then on Good Friday, we are having our traditional Good Friday service, but we're having it downstairs in Wesley Hall. We're going to be centered around a focal point of the cross, and we have the opportunity to experience just the darkness and sorrow of Good Friday, of that day that is so shrouded in darkness. So we'll be having a quieter, more contemplative service at 7 o'clock downstairs in Wesley Hall on Good Friday. That leads us to Saturday, where we have our egg extravaganza over at the Canton Good Samaritan. We have the opportunity to go and visit the folks there and also hunt some Easter eggs, and we'd just love to have you that as a part of that. That's at 10 o'clock on Saturday. And then Easter Sunday, we have a lot of stuff happening here in the life of the church we'd love for you to be a part of. So we're having our Easter sunrise service at 7:30 in the morning. That's going to be completely youth-led. We have two of our kids from our youth group that are going to be presenting many messages, and a bunch of kids singing and other involved with other elements of worship. Then we're having an all church breakfast at 8:30 that everyone is welcome to come and be a part of, 8:30 downstairs in Wesley Hall. And then we'll have our normal Sunday worship at 10 o'clock in the morning in our sanctuary, featuring our choir and our praise band and our pianists and just all kinds of fun and exciting stuff as we have the opportunity to experience the power of the resurrection, to pay off all of our waiting as we look at the resurrection. And just to give you a little bit of a heads up about what's going to be happening after Easter here at the Canton United Methodist Church, we're going to linger in the resurrection for a little while after Easter, and be spending some weeks between Easter and Pentecost looking at the way that the resurrection impacted different people throughout the story of Jesus' gospel. So we'll be spending some time with Thomas, who famously had his moment of doubt and was given access to Jesus' body before he made his great confession of Jesus being his Savior and his Lord. And then we'll also look at the story of Mary Magdalene, the story of the Apostle Paul, and we're going to end this sermon series by looking at how the resurrection continues to affect us because we're a part of this story. Whether we're hearing this story for the first time or the millionth time, we are a part of this story. Jesus died for us and Jesus rose for us. And so the resurrection has just all kinds of layers of meaning for what life now means because Jesus lives. There's just a lot of exciting stuff happening in the life of the church, and we would just love to have you as a part of it for as much of it as you can over the next couple of weeks. But thanks for joining me on this episode of the Cut for Time podcast. We look forward to having you with us on Sunday for everything that's happening. We'll have our in-person worship service at 10 o'clock in the sanctuary or on Facebook Live at 10 o'clock as well. Upload that to YouTube a little bit later in the day. And then we just invite you to join us for the podcast next week. Thanks for listening to our Cut for Time conversation. Join us for worship in person or on Facebook Live Sundays at 10 o'clock Central Time. And now go in peace and serve the Lord.